Now, I want to say I'm thankful for those that have came out to be with us today, and those that's visiting with us. We hope you feel welcome and loved. You are welcome and loved, and we are so glad that you came to be with us. And I just, like I said, I don't intend to preach long, but I do think it's important that as part of our worship that we get in the Word of God. I think hearing the Word of God is important, and so just for a few minutes this morning, let's come together, one mind, one accord. Open our hearts, let's listen to the Word of God, and hopefully we can praise Him in the Word as much or more than what we did in the song. Let's be encouraged by the Word. But before we get into the message, let's have a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are this morning, Lord, to get to be outside, Lord, but yet still in Your presence, God. God, it's good to know, Father, that You're with us everywhere we go, God. You're not contained to four walls of a building, God. You are everywhere, omnipresent at all times, God, and we're grateful. Father, we ask, Lord, today as we open up the Word, God, that You would help us to see what You want us to see, God. Help us to see truth. Help us to understand it, God. Help us to believe it and to embrace it and to hold on to it, God. If there's those that are lost here, God, I pray for them, Lord. I ask, God, Lord, that You would speak to their hearts, God. Those that are maybe in a condition, God, where they're not as on fire as that they once were for the Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that You would work in their hearts this morning, God. Just help us, God, today, Lord, to take Your Word seriously, God, to be comforted by it, but to be challenged and to embrace it, God, and to live up to it, God. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. We ask it all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your Bible, I like having tables because you can put your Bible up in front of you. If you ain't got your, it's helpful. But if you got your Bible, turn to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. And when I first went to Leviticus as I was studying for this, I thought Leviticus is not the place you want to go when you're having a picnic with visitors. But that's where the Lord wants us to go. That's where we'll go. Leviticus. And I want to take full advantage of the opportunity. And you'll find this strange this morning. But I want to take the opportunity for us to look at the heart of the gospel together this morning. You say, well, I didn't know the heart of the gospel was in Leviticus. Well, it is. And I want to show you that it's there. But listen, this gospel that we're going to preach to you this morning, I heard Nathan say it in Sunday school, and I'll say it to you again. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. This gospel has the power to save anybody that'll believe it. Anybody that'll believe it can be saved by it. And I want you to know that, and I want you to believe that. There's a whole bunch of people sitting under this tent who should be able to testify to that truth. Amen? Amen. People who were drug addicts, alcoholics, liars, thieves, idol worshipers, people like me who love their self, lovers of self, evil-minded, filled with covetousness and greed, people who were sexually immoral, adulterers, fornicators, porn addicts, people filled with lust, despisers of good, boasters, people filled with ungodly pride, unthankful thoughts, unloving people, unholy people, sinners, people like me. People enslaved to their sin. And listen, despite our sin this morning, God in His loving kindness through the power of the gospel opened my eyes and our eyes and drew us to Christ. And we believed by faith and we were cleansed and we were washed and we were changed by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. If you're one of those people, you should shout amen this morning. Amen. I'm one of those people. I was one. I can tell you for sure today that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation because it was through the gospel that I was saved. And so today I've got you captive while you're waiting on a hot dog and some other stuff. And I'm going to preach to you the heart of the gospel. And my desire this morning, I'll be up front with you and honest. My desire is that the lost would be saved and that those that are saved would be reminded and hopefully revived by the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. Leviticus chapter 17. And I want to read verse 11 to you. Just one verse. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now, if you can circle or underline, if you've got a pen or a highlighter or whatever you've got with you this morning, you should underline that phrase, it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. That's the heart of the gospel. The word atonement is a very important word. It's a word that's used in the Old Testament to describe the way that two parties are reconciled who have been separated. And it describes the covering. One of its literal definitions is a covering or the removal of a debt. If you owed someone $100 and I came and paid that debt for you, I have atoned your debt. I have covered it for you. If we were eating lunch together and we went up to the register and I said, I'll cover it, that means I'm willing to pay the debt. I'm covering that debt. And so you do this, and they would do this so that people could be reconciled to each other. The debt would be canceled, the debt would be settled, and now two people could be in good relationship with one another. Now that's important. Because in the Bible we learn that man needs atonement. Mankind has been separated from God by sin. And we need reconciliation. We read in the Scriptures that our iniquities have separated us from God and that our sins have hidden His face from us so that He will not hear us. Listen to me this morning. The God that we're worshiping and the God that we're singing about and talking about this morning, He's a holy God. He is pure. He's righteous. He is without fault. Jesus, when He described Him, He said, "Be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect." The problem is that since the fall of Adam, our nature has been corrupted and we are not holy. We are not pure. We are not perfect. We're not righteous. We're sinners. And those sins, our sins, separate us from God. We need atonement. We needed a way for our sins to be covered. We needed a way for our sins to be removed, our debt to be canceled, so that we could be reconciled to God. And that's why I have you in the book of Leviticus, because I want you to see this. The children of Israel, they would have to offer sacrifices daily for sin. You can go back into Leviticus chapter 4, and you can read and you can see the instructions. It says, if anyone sinned unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything, the priest had to make atonement for them every day. Day after day after day, atonement was being made for their sins. They would take the blood of a certain animal, sometimes a bull, sometimes a goat, sometimes a lamb, but they would sacrifice that animal and they would pour its blood at the base of the altar in the tabernacle of God. And then in Leviticus chapter 16, we read that once a year, they had what was called the Day of Atonement. It was considered the holiest day of the year. It was the only day when the high priest was permitted to come into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of the people. On this day, he could go into the very presence of God to make atonement. Now to do that, the high priest, he would have to bathe a certain way and put on a certain type of garment. And he would have to go in and he would have to sacrifice a bull for himself. He had to be able to make that sacrifice for his sins before he could enter into the holy place to atone for the sins of the people. And when he finally was able to go in, he was to bring two goats. One would be a sacrifice and one would be a scapegoat. The blood of the one goat that was the sacrifice was sprinkled on the ark over the mercy seat. And then after that, the high priest would take the other goat. He would put his hand upon the head of that goat and he would confess all the sins of the people. And they would send that scapegoat off outside the camp into the wilderness to carry away their sins. You see, one goat's blood was for sacrifice. The other goat carried away the sins. Now you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with me? Why should this matter to me at all? Well, it's very, very important to us. Because I want you to see that from the very beginning, God doesn't just overlook sin. God doesn't overlook your sin. Amen. He doesn't just wave it away and say, oh, never mind, I see you sin there. No big deal. No problem at all. He doesn't overlook our sin. He doesn't excuse our sin. God has always and will always require a sacrifice for sin. A blood sacrifice to make atonement for the soul. You see, God chose the shedding of blood to be the means by which sins are remitted. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If you want sin canceled, blood has to be shed. And God, as a foreshadowing of something greater, permitted them to transfer the sins of the people to those goats, so that they would see the necessity for the shedding of blood and the carrying away of sin. And they would see that it was year after year, even day after day, they were reminded of their sins and their need for atonement every single day. But these sacrifices, these bulls and goats, they were not pleasing to God. Not in the way that they could truly take away sin. You could go out today and get a goat or a bull and put it on an altar and sacrifice it. God would not be one bit pleased with you. Not one bit. That these were shadows of what God was going to do to take away sin. Now, if you still got your Bible open, now go over into the New Testament, into Hebrews, if you would, chapter 10. And I want to show you something there. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Actually, I'll probably go through 11. For the law having a shadow, there's that shadow I was talking to you about, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, those goats and bulls, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, if that blood of that goat could have taken away sin, would you just not have to do it once? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Now listen at verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Their blood was not sufficient. Verse 4. Therefore, when He, Christ, came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then He said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that He may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Amen. We read that God was not pleased with these sacrifices, but of Jesus he said this, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let me tell you what I want you to know this morning. I want you to know the blood of Jesus is the very heart of the gospel.
Amen.
It's only the blood of Jesus that can make atonement for our souls. And I want you to leave here trusting in that blood and in nothing else. Christ came into the world to be the sacrifice for our sins. The Son of God Himself came to be our atonement. He came to cover our sins. He came to cancel our debt. He came to reconcile us to God. He came to be not only the sacrifice, but the high priest. He came to be the atonement. He shed His blood and died as the sacrifice for our sins. Listen to me this morning, church, in case you have forgotten, without the blood of Jesus this morning, you and I would be lost. Despite all of our works, you could write out a big paper and lay it all across these tables of all the works you've done for the Lord and all the religious efforts you put in and your church attendance and Sunday school attendance and all the money you've given and the offerings and how many times you've fasted and all your prayers and the songs you've sung and the sermons that we've preached and all of those efforts, you could write all those things out. And I'm telling you this morning that our best efforts to be pleasing to God without the blood of Jesus, they're meaningless. They mean nothing. They have no point whatsoever. They're empty and dead and pointless because we would have no covering for our sin. We would have no relationship with the Father if it were not for the blood of Christ. No peace with God without the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed His blood for us. He has appeared, the Bible says, to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself.
Amen.
This was the plan of God from before the foundation of the world. God's plan didn't fail. This was the plan. He was always intended to achieve the most glory. He intended to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Guys, He was offered once to bear the sins of many. His blood atones for sin. He gave His life as a once and for all sacrifice. That's why on the cross He cried out those words, you see Him quoted all the time, "It is finished." Because it is finished. That sacrificial system is finished. The shedding of the blood of bulls and goats to try to be reconciled to God, it's finished. Jesus is the once and for all, final and only sacrifice for sins. It says in Romans, the death He died to sin once and for all. But now, friends, it says He lives.
Amen.
And He has been raised from the dead and dies no more. He has become our great high priest. In Hebrews chapter 7, listen to what it says in verses 23 through 27. It says, there were many priests. All down through the years, you can look at all the different priests that were written in the Scriptures. He said, there were so many because they were prevented by death from continuing. But He, Christ, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Does that not make you thankful this morning?
Amen.
For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, a name that was above every other name, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he died once for all when he offered up himself. Friends, let me tell you something. If you're here this morning and you're lost in your sins, I want to tell you that there's a remedy for sin. There is a sacrifice that can wash away every sin you've ever committed. There is an atonement that you can have. There's atonement for you. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, what do I got to do to get that? What do I have to do? Listen, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't steal it. You can't trick your way into it. You want to know what you got to do? Believe in the only begotten Son of God. Believe in the man Jesus Christ. Believe in Him and thou shalt be saved. If you want salvation, you got to come through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. When John saw Him, he said it, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." I'm telling you this morning, the blood is powerful enough to save everybody under this tent, everybody down that way, everybody down that way, everybody over that mountain, and everywhere else. The blood is enough. You can try to add to it. You can try to put something else on it. You can try to say, well, it's the blood plus this or the blood plus that. It won't do, friend. If you want the atonement that God has provided for us, if you want salvation the way that God has it written in His book, you come one way and one way only. You got to come through the blood of Jesus and nothing else. Amen. There's a song I love. It says this. It says, "Once in darkness, now in light. Once blind, now I see. Once a sinner, now a saint. Once bound, now free. Once a stranger, now a child. Once empty, now filled. Once condemned, now reconciled. Broken, now healed. Once a prodigal, now home. Once lost, now found. Once an enemy, now a friend. Once poor, now crowned." That's the power of the cross. And that, friend, is the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's mighty to save. There was a time, thank you, brother. There was a time when Israel was enslaved to Egypt 400 years. 400 years. And they cried out to God for deliverance. And God heard their cries. And God sent Moses to deliver them. But Pharaoh refused. And so God began to deal with Pharaoh and the Egyptians through plagues. And it got down to the last plague, the final plague, which was the death of the firstborn. And God told Moses to speak to the congregation of Israel. And this is what He said to do. He said, "Tell them they need to take a lamb without spot and without blemish. It could be from the sheep or from the goats." And it had, He said, it was to be killed. And they were to take the blood of that lamb and they were to put it on the doorpost. And they were to put it on the lintel of the house. They were to put that all, those stripe the blood of that lamb on those posts. And they were to eat the flesh of that lamb. And God said this. This is what He told Moses to tell him. He said, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague of death shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Friend, I'm not a theologian. I'm just a nobody preacher. But I'm telling you today, the wages of sin is death. And hell is coming your way. But if you want to escape death and hell, you need the blood applied to your life. You have to have the blood applied. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Just like they had to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the door, you and I have to take the blood of Christ and put it on our heart. We've got to let God do that work in us. Through His blood, we can be reconciled to God and have eternal life. I think there's church houses full of people today who've tried to come up some other way. They've tried to come some other way. They've tried to come through their own works or through their own effort. They've tried to clean up their life. They've tried to get things right in their own heart. And friend, I applaud your efforts. I really do. I want you to know, I think it's wonderful that you want to live right. But let me tell you what, you'll never live good enough to be saved. I'm not saying you're not. I'm not saying that you don't do anything good. I'm telling you this morning, you'll never be good enough. But what I can tell you for sure this morning is that if you'll put your sins under the blood of Christ, if you'll believe in the sacrifice of God, if you'll believe that Christ died for your sins and that God rose Him up from the dead, you will be saved. That's the promise of Scripture. It's the free gift of God to all who will believe. But you've got to get under the blood.
Amen.
This is the goodness of God. A holy God came to save you and to reconcile you to Himself. You see, you would have never came to Him.
Amen.
He came for you.
Amen.
That's the goodness of our God. A holy God who was without sin, yet in His great love looked down upon a sinful, wicked people like us and gave Himself that we might be reconciled to Him. It's finished. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Christian brother and sister, I ask you this morning, have you lost your joy? Have you lost your desire to worship and serve God? Has it gotten cold or lukewarm? Have you went back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world? Have you turned around like a dog returns to its own vomit? Have you went back and begin to try to find pleasure in sin again? I came this morning to bring to your remembrance today that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that covers your sins and that you were purchased by His blood. It's His blood that washed you. It's His blood that cleansed you. You're saved by His blood. It's by His blood you have been redeemed. And I beg you, brothers and sisters, remember what we read in Revelation chapter 1 when it says Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That ought to revive you. As Peter says, knowing that you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct, but you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. If you're lukewarm this morning, if you're cold, if you're backslidden, joyless, if you've turned back to sin this morning, I want you to look back at the cross and see the blood of the Savior who gave Himself for you. And I want you to realize it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's all for Him. It's all because of Him. For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. And like Paul said, the life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us.
Amen.
I know this morning that I stand right with God only by the blood of Jesus. Only by the blood. And because of that, I want to give the Savior my life. Church, He deserves our life.
Amen.
He don't deserve... Listen to me. He don't deserve half-hearted commitment.
Amen.
He don't deserve... The man that shed His blood for you, the only one who can atone for your sin, don't deserve a little bit from you. He deserves everything from you.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me. But listen. He deserves your full surrender. He deserves your whole life, everything about you. He don't deserve the scraps. He don't deserve the crumbs. He don't deserve what's left over. He don't deserve 10%. He deserves 100%.
Yes.
This is the Savior. Without this blood, if you're a professing Christian this morning, living a half-hearted, worldly Christian life, you better heed what I'm telling you this morning. Without this blood, you would be lost and dead and going to hell.
Amen.
But because of this blood, you have life and life eternal. You have been given the free gift. Now use this life that you've been given to serve God. Not to lay at home and bellyache and complain. Not to lay at home and pretend like you're serving the Lord when you're not. Not to be half-hearted, but to go all in for the Lord.
Amen.
What's required of me? Listen, all that's required of you is that you believe in the blood. But I believe this, the fruit of a man's tree will be revealed. God will shake it. You can't hide that fruit. The fruit of your life will testify to the truth. What's the fruit of your life saying, friends? Are you on fire for the Lord this morning? Are you even saved today? You might be sitting out there lost. I'm telling you the way. You got to come through the blood of the Savior. Let's stand together this morning. I tried to keep it short. I don't know if it was or not. Forget about all the distractions for a minute. Bow your heads for a moment if you would and really begin to consider your life. Not somebody else's life that's here. They'll consider theirs. You consider yours. Now if you're here this morning and you believe what you've heard and you say, I want to be saved. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step of faith this morning and come up here and let us pray with you this morning. You say, well, I want to wait till we're inside the church. That feels better. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
You may not be here next week. You may be long gone. You may be 6 foot in a hole in the ground next week. You do know that, don't you? If you died today, now listen to me. If you died today, before Wednesday, you'd have a hole in the ground and you'd be in it. That's how quick things can change for you. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here and you've not been saved, take that step of faith. Trust in the Lord. Come through the blood. Cry out to Christ and say, Lord, save me. Wash me in your blood. Be the sacrifice for my sins. Atone for my sins. I promise you, Christ can save. If there's anybody here that wants to give their life to Christ today, then come and do that. Talk to me after. I'm happy to talk to you. I'm sure any of the other elders at the church would be glad to talk with you as well. And now I ask one more thing. Christian brother or sister, are you in need of revival? Have you gotten lukewarm? Have you lost some of your passion to live for God? I'm just going to ask you to do this while the heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. I don't see no eyes right now, I don't think. If you'd like for the church to pray for you and say, hey, I need a little bit of revival. I have been a little lukewarm. I ain't been having my whole heart dedicated to Christ. If that's you, lift your hand up this morning. There's several hands this morning lifted up. Let's pray for those people. Amen? Let's pray. And we're going to go together to the Lord right now in prayer. Father, we thank you. God, I pray for every hand that went up in the air this morning from the saints, Lord. who, like me many times, God, have veered off track and gotten a little bit cold, God, gotten a little bit distant. Joy seems to have left, God, and I pray, Lord, that You would work revival in their hearts, God. God, we know it's not by works which we have done, God. Lord, it's just by the blood this morning. So we come back to the foot of the cross again, God, and we plead the blood. And we say, Father, be merciful to us. And we thank You, God, that we know, as we read in the Scriptures just not many weeks back, when we confess our sins, oh, You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank You for that, Lord, this morning. Those that are lost amongst us today, God, I pray for them, God. I ask, Lord, that You would work in their hearts, God, and reveal the truth of the gospel to them, God. Maybe my preaching today wasn't what they needed, God, send them what they do. God, whatever they need, Lord, let it be. Let it come to them, God, that they may see the truth. God, I've got people in my family, Lord, who are lost. I pray, God, that You would go and minister to them, God, and reveal Yourself to them before it's too late, God. Lord, thank You today for this beautiful day. Thank You, Lord, for the sunshine. God, it's hot, but it feels good, Lord. It feels good to worship with my brothers and sisters and our community, God. And we thank You for this opportunity. God, we're going to dismiss from this prayer, Lord, but we pray, God, that Your presence would stay right with us, Lord. Watch over the kids and the adults as they play, God. Watch over us, Lord, as we eat together and fellowship together, God. Bless the conversations we have. May they feed our souls, God, and give us rich fellowship to enjoy. May this be just a little piece, a little taste of what heaven will be like for us, God. Thank You for today, God. Thank You for my salvation. Thank You for the blood. I love You, Lord, and I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.